ought to take my mind off things. Didn't I see you last month? I was chasing bigger-than-small Dave Dave along Peach Pie Street, and I fell off that ledge.
That is correct.
But I landed in that cart. I didn't die.
But you might have done.
But I thought we all had some kind of hourglass thing that said when we're going to die. Now the roar was almost physical. Vimes redoubled his grip on the boat.
Oh, yes, you do, said Death.
But we might not.
No, you will. There is no doubt about that.
But you said...
Yes, it is a bit hard to understand, isn't it? Apparently there's this thing called the Trousers of Time, which is quite odd because time certainly doesn't...
The boat went over the waterfall. Vimes had a thunderous sensation of pounding, thudding water, followed by the echoing ringing in his ears as he hit the pool below. He fought his way to what passed for the surface and felt the current take him, slam him into a rock, and then roll him away in the white water. He flailed blindly and caught another rock, his body swinging around into a pool of comparative calm. As he fought for breath, he saw a grey shape leaping from stone to stone, and then another dose of hell was unleashed as it landed, snarling, beside him. He grabbed it desperately and hung on as it struggled to bite him. A paw flailed to gain purchase on the slippery stone, and then, in sudden difficulties, responding automatically, it changed. It was as if the wolf shape became small and a man shape became bigger in the same space, at the same time, with a moment of horrible distortion as the two forms passed through one another. And then that he'd noticed before, a second of confusion. It was just long enough to ram the man's head against the rock with every ounce of strength he could scrape together. Vimes thought he heard a crack. Then he pushed himself back out into the current and let it carry him on, while he simply struggled to stay near the surface. There was blood in the water. He'd never killed someone with his bare hands before. Truth to tell, he'd never deliberately killed at all. There had been deaths, because when people are rolling down a roof and trying to strangle one another, it's sheer luck who is on top when they hit the ground, but that was different. He went to bed every night believing that. His teeth were chattering and the bright sun made his eyes ache, but he felt good. He wanted to beat his chest and scream, in fact. They'd been trying to kill him. "Make them stay wolves," said a little inner voice. "The more time they spent on four legs, the less bright they'd become." A deeper voice, red and raw from much, much further inside, said, "Kill 'em all." The rage was boiling up now, fighting against the chill. His feet touched bottom. The river was broadening here into something wide enough to be called a lake. A wide ledge of ice had crept out from the bank, covered here and there with blown snow. Fog drifted across it, fog with a sulphurous smell. There were still cliffs on the far side of the river. A solitary werewolf, companion to the one now drifting on the current, was watching him from the nearest bank. Clouds were sliding across the sun, and snow was falling again in large, raggedy flakes. Vimes waded to the rim of ice and tried to pull himself up out of the water, but it creaked ominously under his weight, and cracks zigzagged across its surface. The wolf came closer, moving with caution. Vimes made another desperate attempt. A slab of ice came free and tipped up, and he disappeared under the water. The creature waited a few moments, and then inched further out over the ice, growling as fine cracks spread out like stars under its paws. A shadow moved in the shallow water below it. An explosion of water and breath as Vimes broke through the ice under the werewolf and grabbed it around the waist and fell back. A claw ripped along Vimes' side, but he gripped as hard as he could with arms and legs as they rolled under the ice. It was a desperate test of lung capacity, he knew, but he wasn't the one who just had the air squeezed out of him. He held on, while the water clanged in his ears and the thing scrabbled and scratched at him, and then, when there was nothing else left but to let go or drown, he punched his way up to the air. Nothing lashed at him. He cracked his way through the ice to the bank, dropped on his hands and knees, and threw up. Howling started all around the mountains. Vimes looked up. Blood was coursing down his arms. The air stank of rotten eggs, and there, high on a hill a mile or so off, was the Clax Tower, with its stone walls and a door that could be bolted. He stumbled forward. The snow underfoot was already giving way to coarse grass and moss. The air was hotter now, but it was the clammy heat of a fever, and he looked around and realised where he was. There was bare dirt and rock in front of him, but here and there parts of it were moving and going blup.